Chapter 10. The March of the Wargroves. Cervaclius chopped down on a plague-bearer's horned skull and looked up as Bolothrax bellowed in rage and what might have been fear. He saw Gardus lunge for the shimmering aperture. Instinctively, he flung out a hand as if to catch hold of the other stormcast and pull him back from the precipice. "Gardus, no!" he shouted, but too late. Even as the words left his mouth, Gardus vanished. Bolothrax threw back its horned head and howled. Then, with a single awkward motion, the great unclean one flung itself after the Lord Celestant of the Steel Souls in pursuit. It smashed into the Gates of Dawn, squeezing through the archway with a convulsive heave. As the greater demon passed through, the archway shuddered and swayed on its keystones, and then, with a thunderous roar, it crumbled into a pile of broken stone. As the stones fell, the binding magics of the Gates of Dawn were released, resulting in an explosion of eldritch force. Those demons closest to the portal were incinerated by the wave of destructive magics that escaped. Still, there were many, many more, and they attacked the remaining stormcasts with renewed ferocity.
"He has done it," Gravewalker said. "The gate is closed. They will receive no more reinforcements."
Lightning speared down at his gesture, obliterating a knot of plague-bearers. Cervaclius gave a great cry and smashed a charging demon aside with his hammer.
"Aye, he's done it," he said hollowly.
All across the battlefield, the few Stormcast Eternals still standing redoubled their own efforts. Weariness and wounds were forgotten, as Hallowed Knight and Astral Templar alike plunged recklessly into the ranks of the foe. All thought of discipline lost in a tide of grief and rage. Gardus had been respected, loved by his men and those who had known him, and Cervaclius had neither the heart nor the inclination to restrain them. Indeed, he joined them fully, bellowing oaths and curses in equal measure, fighting with a wild abandon.
"If this is to be our dying day, let's make it one to remember," he roared.
He hooked a plague-bearer's horn with his hammer and dragged it forward, so that the sigmarite of his helm crunched against its rotting skull. The demon reeled, and Cervaclius chopped it down, splitting the dazed creature from shoulder to groin with one blow.
"Fight for Gardus, for Sigma, and for the realm celestial!"
"Very stirring," Gravewalker said. "You might have a future as a Lord Celestant yet, Cervaclius."
The Lord Relictor had planted his standard and stood before it, swinging his hammer in quick, precise strikes. Frothing Skaven fell with every blow.
"Cease prattling and fight, Greywalker," Cervaclius snarled.
A Skaven lunged for him, its pox-ridden blade shattering as it struck his side. He drove his elbow into its skull and pinned it to the ground with his foot. His hammer put an end to its struggles. More Skaven pressed in, clambering up the locked shields of his stormcast, their blades digging for eye slits and their bludgeons crashing down on war helms. Gravewalker extended his free hand towards the liberators before him and began to murmur harshly. A soft blue glow suffused his dark gauntlet and then spread to encompass the liberators, who straightened as if his words had purged them of all exhaustion and ills. Cervaclius pulverized a Skaven in mid-leap and turned to block a demon's blade as it dug for his vitals.
"Caught between rabid vermin and demons," he thought, shoving a plague-bearer back.
It wasn't exactly the way he had imagined he would meet his end. He looked around, hunting for the Vermin Lord. If he was bound for reforging, he wanted a fine memory to carry with him into the fire. He caught sight of the creature, perched on one of the obscene obelisks scattered about the fen. It exhorted its followers shrilly, tail lashing in frustration as the remaining stormcasts refused to break beneath the unceasing onslaught of the plague legions. The Lord Celestant smiled and clashed his weapons together. He was determined to come to grips with the rat demon. Before he could take a single step, however, the noisome air was split by the winding call of a hunting horn. Then another, and another, until the surrounding woodland rang with the sound of them. The Skaven ranks began to boil with panic as something struck their flank. Cervaclius pulverized a robed ratman and tried to catch a glimpse of the newcomers. There had been no lightning, no thunder, This was not Sigmar's doing, he knew. Zavaclius took advantage of the distraction to charge towards the Vermin Lord. Whoever they were, the newcomer's sudden arrival had given the Stormcasts a chance of survival, and he intended to make the most of it. As he ran, he heard the sound of wood cracking and popping as a plague claw catapult was torn apart. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw ratmen flung into the air or snatched from sight. The Vermin Lord hissed in consternation as it cut its eyes towards the dissolving flank of its forces. Zavaclius reached it a step later and drove his hammer into the menhir it was crouched upon, cracking and toppling it over. Screaming, the Vermin Lord leapt from the falling rock, trailing wisps of stinking smoke, and the curved blades in its paws scythed towards the Lord Celestant. But Zavaclius swung his sword up and blocked the downward stroke of the curved blades. Before the full weight of the falling rat demon could crash into him, he rammed the head of his hammer into its belly, doubling it over and shoving it backwards. The giant beast chopped at him with its blades, scoring his armour again and again as the Lord Celestant's momentum carried them into the fallen stone. They staggered back and fell. He landed atop the Vermin Lord and swiftly drove his forearm into its hairy throat, keeping it from biting him. It flung him off, and he landed in a rattle of Sigmarite. Quick as hate, the rat demon was on him, blades flashing down towards the joints of his armour. With desperate speed, he squirmed backwards through the muck of the fen, blocking the blows as he went. Sigmar, he's a fast one, he thought. The rat demon leaned in and struck, its curved blade screeching off his war helm in a shower of greasy sparks. Zavaclius drove his feet up into its gut and sent it flying over his head. It slammed down a few feet away, its fleshless snout digging a trench in the mire. Zavaclius rolled to his feet, hammer in hand, narrowly avoiding a flailing kick from the Vermin Lord. It scrambled around on all fours, body contorted in a bestial fashion. Its tail lashed out, and the bladed tip tore the weapon from his hands with stinging force. He flung himself aside as the rat demon pounced. Sweat coated his face, and his breath rasped in his lungs as he rose to one knee and clawed for the hilt of his rune blade. He jerked back instinctively as the Vermin Lord's bladed tail skittered off his helm, nearly blinding him. Quickly, he reached out and caught the ropey length of the tail as it curled back around. In the same motion, he drew his blade and chopped down, severing the twisting, squirming appendage. The rat demon squealed in agony and rage. Zavaclius flung the still writhing lump of flesh aside, but the Vermin Lord hissed and charged with arms wide. The creature's blades tore one of Zavaclius's pauldrons loose as he lunged forward. Frantically he twisted, bringing his sword through its chest and out of the rat demon's back in a gout of brackish blood and foul-smelling steam. Its weight carried it past him, and he ripped his weapon free as it fell, body already beginning to dissolve into clumps of mouldering hair and rotting meat. Hairless, blind rats squirmed out of the sagging mass and scampered away, squealing obscenely. Zavaclius had little time to see to the vermin. The remaining Skaven were fleeing with high-pitched squeals of panic, clawing at one another in their haste to escape the enemy. The demonic legions, however, showed no indication that they were at all concerned by the rout of their allies. Plague-bearers lurched towards the thin line of astral Templars and hallowed knights as Nurglings burbled ahead of them in a cackling wave. He tensed and readied himself to meet their charge, only to be knocked to one knee. The ground suddenly erupted in thrashing tendrils of bark and vine, obliterating demons on all sides. They were not alone in their fate. All around him, great roots burst from the ailing soil as quick as bolts from a judicator's crossbow. The roots rent and throttled demons wherever they found them, and those creatures that escaped their deadly grasp were torn apart or stamped flat by the vast talons and crashing feet of the thing storming towards them with earth-shaking strides. To Zavaclius it resembled a tree, but one imbued with hateful purpose and ferocity far beyond any creature of common flesh. It towered over the foe and pummeled them with heavy fists as it stomped past him. Tree Lord, he thought in horrified wonder. He had never seen such a being, but he had heard the tales. All Stormcasts had. Stories of marching forests and the wrath of the deep woods on any who dared threaten the realms of the mistress of the Sylvaneth. Behind the barkborn giant came a clattering warglade of Sylvaneth dryads, crooning an eerie song of slaughter. With whipping vicious talons, they stabbed and strangled any demons that had survived the tree lord's initial charge. The Lord Celestant stepped back as a sharp-limbed dryad bounded past him to pounce upon a plague-bearer. He stepped forward, hammer raised to help the treekin, and the dryad whirled with a hiss. He lowered his weapon and took a step back. The dryad turned back to its prey and stabbed branch-like fingers into the demon's one bleary eye. The plague-bearer bucked and kicked as the dryad peeled its skull apart. After a moment, the dryad rose, hissed at Savaklius again, and then loped away. He watched it go, uncertain as to whether it was advisable to follow. Had Sigmar's messengers found Alariel? Or were these treekin acting on their own savage initiative? A moment later, his question was answered. The last demon fell, pulled apart by two squabbling dryads. The tree lord shoved the two creatures aside and moved ponderously towards the remaining stormcast. Savaklius rejoined the others. Gravewalker and the Judicator Prime of the Hallowed Knights followed him.
Solus, Savaklius murmured. Good to see you still breathing.
For now, at any rate, Solus said, wiping pestilential muck from the blade of his gladius. His once pristine armor was caked in mud and grime. Gardas?
Gone, Savaklius said.
Solus nodded, knowing well enough what that meant.
Most of us are, he said softly.
Savaklius tossed a quick glance behind him. There were fewer than 36 warriors between their hosts who could stand unassisted. The Hallowed Knights and the Astral Templars had paid a heavy toll to take the Gaia-tracked Fen.
And the rest of us might soon be joining them, Solus continued,
jerking his chin towards the approaching Tree Lord.
Well, only one way to find out,
Savaklius said. He looked at Gravewalker.
You know what to do. If they decide we're not allies, call down the lightning until there isn't a tree left standing.
And then what?
Gravewalker asked, leaning against his standard.
Whatever you see fit. I'll be back in the forges by then.
Savaklius shot back over his shoulder as he strode to meet the tree lord. He turned to face the immense being and studied it closely, looking for any hint of its intentions.
I wish it was you standing here, my friend, rather than me, he thought,
glancing at the remains of the realm gate. Gardas would have known what to do. That much he was sure of. He swung his hammer up onto his shoulder and sheathed his sword as the tree lord came to a creaking halt before him. The ancient being stared down at him for a long moment, its green eyes glowing strangely. Savaklius felt a chill as he met its gaze. There was a power there, unlike anything he had yet encountered. Behind it, dryads prowled and hissed, clattering leafy claws. He had never seen such creatures before, and the way they moved set his teeth on edge. They watched him with what he took to be wariness, and suspected that if he said the wrong thing, the dryads would leap on him and seek to tear him limb from limb. Savaklius cleared his throat and hesitated. What was the proper way to address a walking tree? How did one talk to a creature like this? Would it even understand him?
We thank you, Forest Lord.
The tree lord stared down at him for long moments.
We have come,
it said, speaking slowly, as if human speech were difficult for it. Its voice sounded like branches creaking in a windstorm.
We have come to aid thee,
it continued.
And we thank thee, mighty one. Your arrival was timely and much appreciated, Zavaclius said.
The creature's voice reverberated through him, and he was suddenly glad that he didn't have to fight this being. He had no doubt he would be victorious, but it would be a close thing. The tree lord was silent for a time. Then, with a rustling groan, it said,
Azir.
It turned slightly, following his glance towards the realm gate. A sound like leaves swirling in the wind emerged from the treekin's bark-covered jaws.
Not that way.
It turned away.
We will show you.
Slowly, with great earth-shaking strides, the tree lord began to depart. Dryads clustered about it like adoring courtiers. Zavaclius shook his head.
Being a few words, he thought.
He looked at the smashed and mangled remains of the Skaven.
Then who needs words?
Thank you,
he called after the tree lord. Turning, he spoke to his brothers.
Sekka, take Solus and two others. See what our allies have to show us.
He still wasn't certain whether the sudden arrival of the Warglades meant that Sigmar's emissaries had been successful in their task, or that the creatures had come on their own initiative. But it hardly mattered. If they knew of a functioning realm gate, one that could provide a route to Azir, then it would be the height of foolishness to ignore it. They needed reinforcements badly, and the Hallowed Knights needed their Lord Castellant now that their Lord Celestant had fallen. Zavaclius looked towards the shattered realm gate. Dust and smoke still rose from the fallen stones, marking the final resting place of the Lord Celestant of the Hallowed Knights. He could not say whether a soul could find its way back to Azir from within the realm of chaos. Somehow he didn't think so. Else what was all this for? Why bother to wage war if the ruinous powers could be defeated so easily? Gardas would not reappear in the Celestine vaults of far-off Sigmaron, hale and hearty.
Grim will not forgive me, he thought.
The Lord Castellant had asked him to keep Gardas safe, and he had failed. It would not matter that Gardas had chosen his fate as a warrior. Zavaclius sighed and bowed his head.
I'm sorry, my friend, he thought.
He slowly sank to one knee, planting his hammer and sword in the earth before him. All around him, the remaining stormcasts followed suit, bowing in silence. Hallowed knights and astral templars alike, offering prayers for Gardas, the steel soul. Zavaclius closed his eyes.
Go in peace, Gardas. Fight well. Wherever you are now, I hope that your faith has not deserted you.